A quirky new Vanderbilt undergraduate course truly blends biological and political science. Politics and genetics will explore if the genes that we inherit affect our political choices. I recently spoke with the professors teaching this course, Vanderbilt Distinguished Professor of Political Science John Geer, and David Bader, a professor of cell and developmental biology. Has there been much research, John, on whether or not there's a connection between our genetic makeup and our political behavior?
No, there's not actually been a lot. Over the last 5 or so years, however, a series of papers and books, in fact, have started to be produced suggesting that there is a potential connection. And, of course, there'll be some pushback. Some people won't necessarily buy it. But it's a field that's just emerging and, therefore, exciting, and also one that would be interesting to have shared with the students here at Vanderbilt.
So what have the findings been so far? I mean, is there any evidence that there's a connection?
It's been, I guess you'd say, mixed. I mean, for example, there's some research that suggests that how we are politically has a genetic influence. Our partisanship doesn't. That is, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, looks like that's a product of how you were raised. But interestingly, the research right now suggests that your ideological makeup, whether you're a liberal or conservative, does in fact have a genetic component. And that actually makes sense. People who are more open to change versus people who are less, there may be a genetic link there. So the basic point would be that genetics has to play some role. It can't play zero, but it can't be everything either. And so part of the goal, not of this course, we're going to be reporting really what other people do, but will be by scholars, political science, geneticists, and others to figure out how much and under what conditions do genetics shape behavior.
So, David, as a scientist, have you found much research that there's a connection?
Only what I've read just recently, and I'd reiterate what John says, is that it's an emerging field and one that, you know, at the beginnings of any new field will stir up a little bit of controversy. What is interesting is that I think it's clear that there must be some genetic component to all human behavior. As far as I can understand, political science is a human behavior, so the being political is. It would follow. All creatures are creatures of genetics at some level.
How did this class come about? Were you trying to get this science, the students interested in science, interested in politics and vice versa, or how did this come about?
Well, it came about partly because of our friendship, but also because the college, in particular, Dean McCarty, has been interested in having certain courses that are doing something different. And so the university's actually put some resources behind that and have been interested in such courses. So we're teaching this under what's called the HM-161 title, which courses on immigration, for example. Following the horrors of 9/11, there was a course set up on it. So it's something that the university is interested in. And we basically sent a proposal to Dean McCarty, and he was excited enough about it that he gave us the opportunity. So it's, I wouldn't want to, I mean, I think the topic is interesting, and I think it's great timing in a lot of different ways, and it's good fortune. I wouldn't want to say that David and I have planned this out with great care and that this has been something that's been on percolating for a long period of time. Rather, it's just a series of forces coming together that makes this an opportunity that will be fun for us, but also, we hope, fun for the students.
Right. And I would reiterate that fun, you know, it's a fun topic, something that probably no one's addressed in a formal way at Vanderbilt. So within the range of studies and the range of classes and the range of interaction, I think there's a place for this, and I think it'll be fun and informative. You know, we'll be able to do it together with the students.
So will there be a scientific aspect to it? We'd be looking under microscopes or showing pictures of genes or?
Well, yes, there'll be science, and in fact, political science is science. But there will be biomedical science presented. It's not going to be anything that any student can't handle. We totally understand that we need a framework for this, but it doesn't need to be taken to the nth degree. We'll be able to get people up to speed in a couple hours, and it won't be onerous at all.
John, what do you hope the students will come away with?
I mean, there's a couple of things that I hope they come away with, and this is not necessarily an order of importance. One is that they just begin to think about politics in a new way. Political science has a tradition of being influenced by various fields, history 100 years ago or so, sociology, psychology, economics, anthropology even to some degree. And here's another example. And there's been various efforts over the years to have kind of biology broadly defined influence the study of political science. So one is just getting to think about new ideas. Second is to expose them to some very promising new research that's being done. And this is not stuff that David and I are doing, but rather that people from around the country are doing, and we're inviting them in through the auspices of this HM161 course. And so they'll get to see some cutting-edge scholars. David has a colleague at Harvard who has a major center and endowed chair and all like this, and he's agreed to come, which is a great opportunity for the students. And there's other people, whether University of California at San Diego or there's a very prominent scholar at Rice, et cetera. Lots of people coming. So I think that'll be an opportunity. And also, the university has a mission of being interdisciplinary, and there's a lot of support for that, and there's a lot of efforts to do so. But here's another example of it. And it's actually, as David kind of suggested, it's a path that we're going to go down. We have an idea of the general direction we're going, but I wouldn't want to predict the exact, avenues that we end up crossing, and that will make it, interesting on many, many fronts.
Coming from the biological sciences or biomedical side, we study phenotypes all the time, and we study them in very controlled, very methodical ways where we can vary one parameter at a time. But that doesn't mean to say that we don't deal with very complex outcomes. And so I think that it's good for a person like me and students of biology and biomedical science to think in terms of how genetics and inheritance can affect society. And so I think that from my side, I think it's very exciting for me to step back and look at a large picture.
Will there be any tie-in with the 2008 presidential election, or is this not connected?
Well, I mean, it might have some indirect ties because you're studying political behavior, and therefore you could do some ties to it. I think that rather than tying it into political behavior, the campaign per se, that one part of the course is going to be an effort to study politics' influence on science. And what I mean by that is stem cell research, for example, and obviously there's a strong political component to that. We can talk about evolution versus intelligent design, et cetera, in a way that's trying to be fair to both sides. We don't have any ideological axes to grind here. And we'll try to bring in some people from Washington, D.C., for example, who can speak to this. We're actually trying to recruit somebody now who is a member of the news media, because obviously the news media take the various findings of scholars and present it to the public. What interests them? How do they cover it? How do they cover science? How do they cover politics? It's a wide-ranging course as a result, and it's not going to be, people aren't going to be learning how to use microscopes in this class, but they hopefully will, come away with some different views on issues that they thought they had settled in their mind.
And we don't want to back away from anything. We want to be fair, and we want to be unbiased. But the other thing is, I don't think either one of us thinks there will necessarily be a resolution to all of this. But I think it's the discussion, the opening of a new area, being involved in the kind of the initial phase of it will be just fun. It'll be exciting, and I think that's a real plus here.
What's hard to tell, I suppose, is that if you looked at father-son, obviously it could be nature or nurture. For example, Romney and his dad, if they're similar.
Right. And that's a very, very complex issue, and it really, I think, gets at the heart of what we're talking about. The question you bring up is one that we can all frame. So it's not that, I can't do this because I'm a political scientist or I'm only a biological scientist. I think that we can frame these questions. I think that we may not resolve them during the term, but I think that it's the process of looking at it and seeing what's out there that will be fun.
Is it more of a seminar, or is it one of the classes that meets two or three times a week?
So that's a good question, and one that we've thought about. We want to begin with some background material, but keep it to a manageable, I don't want to say minimum, but to a manageable size. And we've invited really some of the people who are dead center on this topic in political science. We've invited some people to come talk about basic science, but these are people who we refer to as people who get it. People who understand what the basic concept is here and can give examples of genetic influence of behavior in a fun and exciting way. So I think that we've tried to vary the modes of teaching. It won't be a great number of didactic lectures. We'll quickly get into the primary work, with the people who have done it. So I think that, to me, that seems to be very exciting. We want to have a good discussion period. We want to have the students meet privately with the seminar speakers that they would most like to talk to. So we're arranging all that.
The class number is?
HM-161. It's cross-listed. It counts as political science. University or the college gave it some sort of, it counts for some sort of distribution requirement within AXL, probably CPLE, which is about to be phased out as well. So actually the committee was quite cooperative in giving us credit on that. But, you know, I think it's a matter of getting the word out. And, you know, we'll see. Political science courses tend to be oversubscribed, so it may well be that once people get bumped from courses, they'll start to look at it. And it could fill up quite a bit, but we're hoping that it becomes, you know, it's a manageable number. But even if, in fact, it turns out to be quite large, we have a series of strategies that we would put in place to still make it something that will be fun for the students.
You've been listening to Interview with John Geer, a distinguished professor of political science at Vanderbilt, and David Bader, a professor of cell and developmental biology.